11 a.m. hour here on Wilde and Tausch, and Jason is getting situated over at training camp, so he'll join us here shortly. Something about Daryl's call that really piqued my interest, and I just don't know. Tell me I'm crazy, because I understand that fans are always, at some point, you're a fan of the organization and the team. I think we all love certain players, and we have nostalgia for players. And I think for the most part, fans really, you know, if you give everything you have to the organization, fans respect and will love you forever. I don't understand how you can look at this and say, I'm so, I don't want to say despise, but I so disagree with what Aaron Rodgers is doing that I want to see the team that I love lose for 10 years. I can't get my head wrapped around it. Ashton, let's hear that. Let's hear that clip from Daryl quick.
All right, here is Daryl in Lake Geneva from about 10 minutes ago.
And quite frankly, I would be willing to see the Packers lose for the next 10 years rather than succumb to Aaron's desire, because I don't feel he reflects historically and ethically and mentally the Green Bay Packers' attitude.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I feel like there's gray area in, and that, yeah, I can see. I understand that people are frustrated with Aaron and the fact that he has 3 years left on his deal. I understand all that. But as fans, you want the organization and the team to be successful. Everybody knows that Aaron Rodgers leading this team, this is a Super Bowl contending team. They've been in the NFC Championship 2 years in a row. I don't get this. I don't understand it. And whenever I don't understand something, you know who I go to? I go to our Badgers outsider, who's turning into a Packers outsider today, calling into Milwaukee. This is how strongly he feels. Our Badgers outsider, Derek Blakesley. Derek, tell me why I should have a more understanding of what Daryl had to say.
When I sent you a text message, and the point of it is, I understand, Daryl. I get it. And I think you don't get it, and I wanted to articulate what I think he's trying to say.
Okay.
You refer to the Green Bay fan base, for people as fans, and I think there's a nuance to it, is that people of a certain age remember the days of Randy Wright, you know, Walter Stanley, Ron Hallstrom, Eddie West. We weren't great, but I think people in Wisconsin think of themselves as kind of a family, and that the fabric of the Green Bay Packers is woven existentially into our existence. And I think kind of what's being said here is that family, that existence, that part of being a Wisconsinite, especially if you're driving up, you know, 41 on a game day, is going to continue whether Aaron Rodgers is a Green Bay Packer or not.
Yep.
And when we win football games, when we win the division, when we go to the finals, when we go to Super Bowls, I think Wisconsinites generally want to feel like we did it the right way and we're good people and people are rooting for us. We are the good guys. We're the Green Bay Packers. When we see our flagship guy, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, what he's given to the organization and what the organization, but the people, the family, the tapestry of all of us, what we've given to the organization as owners, as down the line, and we cannot wrap our heads around what even actually is. We've seen him have trouble in his personal life with his family. We've seen him kind of always mad about something, is what Homer brought up earlier. And I think what Daryl's saying is, you know what? Our family, our existence, our Packer family moves forward. You can be, we want you with us, but if not, we still got together and drank beer and ate brats when we were losing games to the Chicago Bears in the 80s. We still follow the Packers. We still love the Packers, even though we went through the suffering. It never stopped. And so if he doesn't want to be a Green Bay Packer, I think what we're saying is that life will go on and people are not going to stop loving the team. And it's a nuanced thing where you think of us as fans, and where Daryl actually thinks of, and a lot of us do, as part of the Packers family that goes on into the future, regardless of who's on the team.
Yeah, but I agree with listen, I understand that part of it, but to say I would rather than work stuff out and communicate and try to piece this together, and maybe I do have to succumb a little bit to Aaron Rodgers to get him back into the family. You're saying you're excommunicated, you're dead to me, and I would rather us bury ourselves in the sand over here and lose forever because I don't want to give in to you. That doesn't make any sense.
Boy,
I don't care what family you're talking about.
I've never seen a person draw a straw man like that in an argument. It's not what I said. It's not an excommunication. I think we're having trouble with defining even what the grievance is. We can't even define the problem. He's got his money. He's got Aaron Jones back at running back. He has an elite wide receiving core. He's got Bakhtiari coming back, and we've got the emergence of some other guys on the line. We're going to score a lot of points. What's the problem here? What's the problem here? If we're not going to come out public, he could come out publicly and be a leader, and he could articulate what's going on and what the problem is. Because even though we got to treat Aaron Rodgers differently because he is a superstar, Aaron Rodgers has to treat us differently, has to treat the fan base differently. He called the Green Bay Packers, darn it. The Pack. The Green Bay Packers. This isn't Dallas. This isn't these other franchises where people behave this way. That's what Daryl's saying. This is about doing things the right way. This is about Midwest values. This is about trying to win a Super Bowl. He's got 15 seasons in. He's got one Super Bowl. Everybody knows the best opportunity is with the Green Bay Packers. It's time to put things behind, put all the things professionally and personally, get in line, get into camp, and start working toward the Super Bowl. And if they're not going to do that, they're not going to be part of the family, then this family rolls on.
Derek, hi from minicamp.
Get him, Jason. Get him. Get him.
That is one of the stupidest things you have ever said on our show.
JW, it is a pleasure. To be with you again.
Here's why, and you know I love you, but here's why.
I love you too.
You just articulated what it was like to be a Packers fan in the 70s and 80s, okay? For Daryl to say that he would rather experience that again than to, in his opinion, cave to Aaron Rodgers is completely, it is completely asinine. Isn't it possible that Aaron Rodgers' insight into what dysfunction there is in this organization is actually accurate? And isn't it possible that as opposed to being not Packer people, he actually is Packer people, and that there have been things that have gone on behind the scenes here that have become where it's more important to develop revenue from the sledding hill, or it's more important for the general manager to have complete and utter control of the roster, even if other people in the building disagree with it. Like, to suggest that we know, you're right, he has not articulated it publicly what he wants or what's important to him. But Mark Murphy himself said in his column that less public discussion is better, in the same sentence where he said that Aaron Rodgers' situation has divided the fan base. So if he is actually articulating what's wrong, in his opinion, with the organization behind closed doors, you're pissed because he's not doing it publicly? Isn't it possible that Aaron Rodgers, while wrong on other points, because he is not perfect, believe me, all of us who have experienced him know that he has his failings, but this idea that the Packers are a family and all this other stuff, that's great. But you know what? Family does not fill the bank account. Family does not result in tours. And most importantly, family does not make January and February fun to be a fan if your team sucks all the time. And whether you're Larry McCarron, who played in the 70s and 80s, or your Randy Wright or Mike Tomczak or all the people you mentioned, if you have to endure losing season after losing season, I don't care how much you enjoy drinking the Blue Mountains of Coors together, it isn't fun to lose all the time. Because when you're a 10-year-old kid growing up on the south side of Milwaukee, you go and you find the San Diego Chargers to cheer for in addition to Packers games. You still watch the Packers, but you know they're not going to win the Super Bowl, and that's not fun. So to suggest that it would be better to cut your nose off, to spite your face and say, screw Aaron Rodgers, he's not part of the family. Give me a break. Maybe he actually has some insights here.
I don't think that's the tone.
Yeah.
And I think the point being made is that he is smart of a guy as he is. He's got an elite mind. Would a person with an elite mind trying to make a point or trying to change the organization do it in the way that he has done it? And the answer to that is no. It has not been managed properly by him and his people.
How else would you propose? He has not done anything publicly, right? In fact, he told Mike Tirico that he was disappointed that the news came out the way it did when he was at the Kentucky Derby. If there was dysfunction at PDS, you wouldn't take it public either, right? You would work behind the scenes. Also, I don't know the structure there, but maybe you're their Aaron Rodgers, where you're not in charge of everything there, but you're a pretty darn important piece. This old school idea that, you know, we had it earlier. I was driving over here to Clark Hinkle Field, so I didn't get to hear the entirety of Daryl's call. But this old school mentality that he should just shut up and play if he sees things that are wrong. And let's be honest, too, there's 89 other guys that are here, right? You don't think that there's other guys that have been here a while that see the same problems? You don't think there's Matt LaFleur or Nathaniel Hackett or Luke Getsy who see those problems? You don't think that Aaron Rodgers might be voicing issues that he sees as a whole, and he's the one that has the clout to actually try and make change? Like,
By holding the organization hostage and the chance of a Super Bowl appearance, I mean, this might be getting a lot of scope of Daryl's call. But I texted Tausch the other day. I said, Tausch, is this to the point where Goody's out of a job? And everyone's like, as soon as you start talking about change within the organization, everyone's like, whoa, we're not touching Goody. No, Mark Murphy's not going to touch Goody. We're not going to change that. Because it's not clear. The conversation is not clear. The parameters have not been articulated. Right, the points have not been made, and I think they should be made publicly because people don't watch me sell computers at PDS on Sunday afternoon. It's not a public-facing thing. This is very public, and I think if he's got points to be made, the best thing to do is
wait a minute. So your argument now is for him to air all of his grievances publicly, and you think that would be more productive to fixing whatever ails the organization than trying to do it privately and by withholding his services from a mini camp? He hasn't withheld his services from a game that counts, as far as I can tell. You think that airing all of his grievances publicly, like Festivus for the Packers us, would be best?
Well, in the words of Dr. Phil, we've done it the private way. And how's that working out for you, Jason? You're up at camp. You don't have anybody to write about because he's not in camp. We're sitting here talking about how tall and physical Devin Funchess is.
Words of Dr. Phil?
That's where we are. All right.
That's where we got. I just think I wanted to bring the point of view of Daryl, because I think the Tausch sort of pushed it aside and said he had a lot to disagree.
It is.
I just wanted to say the feeling.
That's fine. But, Derek, it is absolutely asinine to say that you would rather have a crappy team for the next 10 years than to give Aaron Rodgers anything that he wants, which would result in you having the chance to win the Super Bowl this year. I'm sorry. That is vindictive and foolish. And thanks for your insights, both to you and to Daryl. I am live at Packers minicamp, mere feet away again from a rehabbing David Bakhtiari and the tight end group working with Justin Outen. We are about a half hour north of Manitowoc. I don't know how far we are from Oconomowoc, but I know if we were in Oconomowoc, Tausch, you'd be playing Lac La Belle and I'd be eating some beautiful sandwich in the clubhouse.
Absolutely, you would. It's right in between Madison and Milwaukee in Oconomowoc, Jason. That's where Lac La Belle is. It's one of the oldest clubs in Wisconsin. Newly remodeled 18-hole course. One of the first courses in Wisconsin and now recognized as a founding golf club right on the heart of the Wisconsin Golf Trail. Come on down. Golf 18 holes. Go eat at the Rivalry Pub. I love the history in that clubhouse. You have all the old clubs, all the old champions. Then you can go out and play the 18-hole putting course. Put your Coors Light in a little cup holder. Get out there and enjoy it. It is a great track, great food. Everything is fantastic out at Lac La Belle. Visit laclabelle.com for more information and to book your tee time today.
We are in a special teams period here at Packers minicamp. Devontae Adams is with Jason Vrabel, the wide receivers coach, working on his get-offs from the line of scrimmage again. We'll talk more about what we see and a new player on the roster. Plus, we'll get ready for Woe Ashy. That's all still ahead. It's Wilde and Tausch. Continuing from Packers minicamp, where we are in period four, which is 28 minutes in length, which will take us all the way to the end of the program, potentially. Some individual drill work here as the quarterbacks are working, and Jordan Love scheduled to talk with the media following practice via Zoom. He is under center now and working on some handoffs and some play action. So we will keep you updated from here. We'll take another call in a second. Tausch, before we do, the Packers do have a new linebacker, another option at inside linebacker as they add Devondre Campbell, who is wearing number 59. But I wanted to get to this because I don't think we spent the time that I was hoping to today. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. But quickly, before we get to Mike in St. Paul, I understand that these are shorts and helmets practices, but when I saw Devin Funchess for the first time yesterday, and again, you got to be able to do things with the physical gifts you're given, but we all use the same phrase on the sideline or in a tweet, and then Matt LaFleur used it too. He really looks the part. That was the phrase we all used. As a former player, when you would see a guy like that, are you eager to see what he does once he's actually doing things? Because the first impression he makes when you see him in person, you're like, whoa, this guy looks like a big-time player.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the physical side of football is important, but it really is more about what are you going to do on the field. And, you know, I've always told you, Charles Woodson is one guy that kind of popped from an athleticism standpoint. Terry Glenn was another. It's just like they had different gears than other players had. And I think when you have that, that's more that what pops than there's a lot of guys that look the part and are, you know, cut up and are physically, it just is like, whoa, as you just put it. That stuff's great, but there's plenty. And I was on the opposite end of that spectrum. It was the opposite. And it's like, well, you know what? Yeah, he looks like blank, but you know what? He can play. I'd rather be looks like blank and you can actually play than be an Adonis, if that helps your, I guess, if that answers your
absolutely.
Question.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And that was kind of my point was that, you know, we were all kind of like, wow. But, you know, the guy's played one game in 2 years, right? He got injured in the opener of the 2019 season in Indy. So we don't know. It doesn't matter how he looks. It matters what he's going to be able to do.
I got to admit, Jason, it would be nice at one point in my life to be able to say have people saying that about me or you. I just don't know if it's going to be in this life.
Are we prepared to do what it takes to be viewed that way, you and I?
I don't know. I think that ship has sailed.
No, I don't think so. Let's be honest. Yes, exactly. All right, let's go to the phones, 800-990-3776. Let's talk to Mike in St. Paul. Mike, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. Welcome to minicamp. How are you?
I'm doing great. Lovely day up here in St. Paul. Apparently it's nicer by where you are. So I wanted to pick up, Jason, on something I heard you say to the, I believe, the Badgers outsider.
Yep. Yes.
I think you suggest, if I understood what you were saying, you're suggesting that if Rodgers would have not essentially gone down the road of making implied threats at this point, though, as we've said, not publicly to this point, not to play, but rather if this really is about making a point to the organization about how they need to change the way they operate, if simply saying it to them didn't turn out to be enough, I think you implied that it would have been worse than what we're having, or I guess that's what I'm asking. Are you saying it would be worse if he had, instead of gone down this road of bringing into question whether he's going to play for the Packers again, and I think that's the last two callers have been trying to explain, is the situation, the feelings that creates in the state and in the fan base are ones of feeling held hostage. Hopefully it's just for a few weeks until it gets resolved, but we don't know that. And so everyone's on tenterhooks. And so if he had instead taken the conversation from private to public, I understood you to be saying, you know, that would be a whole other ball of wax, but I can't understand how it could possibly be worse from the perspective of the fans than what we have now. We would at least have specifics of what he is saying, you know, what his ideas about the organization are, and we wouldn't be living under threat of his holding out for a whole season, which we don't know if that's really the threat he's making, but that's kind of where we're operating. So I wondered if you wanted to explain if that's what you meant, that it would be worse to have a public conversation about team organization.
Well, let's start with this. Okay, let's start with this. So let's start with if he, and again, let's also not, look, I'm not here to try and spin this as, oh, Aaron Rodgers is riding in on his white horse to change the environment of the Green Bay Packers. No, I mean, part of it is emotional, right? He's pissed. He's pissed that they drafted Jordan Love to begin with. He's pissed that they treated Jordy Nelson the way they did. He's pissed that they treated Jake Kumerow the way they did. He's pissed that after an MVP season, instead of coming to him with the contract extension that's apparently on the table now, they came to him with a simple restructure that would allow them to get rid of him in 2022, just the way they had planned on all along. He's pissed about all those things. So I want to be clear. First of all, I'm not making it about, oh, he just wants to change the culture. He's just this, you know, white knight who's coming in to save the franchise from himself. No, but if that is part of it, and he's already tried privately, because this is one thing that's consistent with him, Tausch, is that he tries to do things privately, and if you don't respond to him, then he's going to do things publicly. Like when he went off after that Bills game about the offense, and it was after a 22-0 shutout win, it was clear that he had tried to make his points in private and decided no one's listening, so I'm going to throw him under the bus publicly. Now, we can disagree if that's the right way to go about things or not, right? I personally would prefer not to do that. But he decided that that was the only way that the message was going to get through. And there were changes offensively after that. I still think it was poor form, but he chose to do that. In this instance, I don't think airing all your grievances just so the fans know what's wrong with the franchise is helping either side. It helps us with our feelings to say, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't be so upset at him. But other than that, I don't know what the upside is for him to publicly air whatever issues he has. I don't know how that helps him, and I don't know how that helps the franchise. Because then, Tausch, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking then there's still going to be a group of people that are going to say, well, this is garbage. I mean, how can he say this about the team? And who does he think he is to say this is wrong with Goody or the... Look, the silos still exist. Maybe this whole situation is going to lead to them coming down, but the team president and CEO flat out said when he hired Brian Gutekunst that one of the reasons was to break down the silos, and he was changing the structure of the organization to break down the silos. Guess what? Those silos still existed between the coach and the GM, between the personnel staff and the coaching staff, and between players and whether it's coaches or the personnel. So I don't understand, Tausch, why anyone other than for their peace of mind as a fan to know, okay, he's got a legitimate beef. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't. He knows in his mind he has a legitimate beef. He doesn't feel like he needs to get fans on board to have those feelings. He doesn't have to explain them. The idea is, in that part of this issue, is to fix the problem.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the gist of it. And I think when you hear Mark Murphy, it's always better to keep that stuff in-house, because then you get piranhas just kind of taking every word you say and utilizing it. And I don't necessarily think that ever brings, I guess, collaboration. It actually makes people kind of dig in even more. So that's what Mark Murphy's, you know, the in his little monthly deal, whatever it is, on Packers.com. What the heck is going on at camp there? You guys, we gotta hit dump buttons. Like, what are you guys doing out there?
The intensity of Josiah DeGuara and David Bakhtiari's rehab is resulting in some expletives being shouted. And also, I do believe there was a blocking mistake during one of the individual drills. I have my headphones in. I didn't think you guys would pick that up. These must be really high-end headphones.
Those are some
look,
strong
if
headphones.
You want to,
yeah.
I know you want a window into what's happening here at minicamp. I know some fans, like Mike in St. Paul and others, the Badgers Outsider, want windows into why Aaron Rodgers is happy. Usually, windows are good, especially when they're energy efficient, and especially when they're from Pella.
The time is now, everybody. Upgrade to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Right now, choose 6 years, no interest financing, or 40% off installation. Pella Windows, they now lead Wisconsin and other states across the country as number one for highest value, highest quality, highest innovation, and most preferred windows, according to a 2021 consumer survey. Instead of a few lines and a bunch of standard sizes to fit most homes, Pella offers 9 lines. It's June 9th, and baby, does Pella offer 9 lines, with each one custom measured and made for your home's specific needs. And they're installed by Pella certified installer in as little as 1 day. Order by June 30th for your choice. 6 years, no interest financing, or 40% off installation. Set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com/radio or give a call at 855-PellaWI. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details.
Tausch is so proud that he knows the date. Woe Ashy is next. It's Will D. and Tausch. Continuing from Packers potty mouth camp, quarterbacks and wide receivers and tight ends now doing routes on air. And Kurt Benkert has beautiful hair. I wish my grown-out hair looked as good as his coming out the back of his helmet. Time now for Woe Ashy.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Last Woe Ashy for the remainder of Jesse Nelson's vacation slash wedding or whatever. It's my last day with you guys. That's all right. I appreciate that, Tausch. Tausch, this one is mostly for you, and I don't want to continue to make something about myself, as I think both of you understand. Yesterday, I revealed to Jason and to Greg Matzik, cousin sub of the day, that I have never been to a concert. Greg Scalzo then called me a liar later in the day on Scalzo and Brust. I'm just curious, what is your reaction to me telling you I have never been to a live music concert?
I mean, obviously I'm surprised. I think people, you kind of fall into it sometimes, right? It's not like you even have to organize it. Sometimes you're at Summerfest or you're just at somewhere and bam, a concert breaks out. Like, so it's surprising that you don't have enough, I guess, love for some band that you'd fall into going to see them. But I kind of understand it because, you know, most people like music, but not everybody does. The weird part about it is you're in an audio industry. And as somebody that's around talk, music, to never have just somebody invited you to go see Led Zeppelin or something, it surprises me because you have great taste when you're playing bump back music. It surprises me, but I think you're going to be one of very few people that could make the claim that you just said.
So part of what Scalzo said yesterday on Scalzo and Bruss when he accused me of lying was that it was a reflection on my parents and my childhood. Would you agree with that sentiment?
No, because I don't think my parents went to very many. I mean, I know my mom used to jam out to the Oak Ridge Boys and some of those, but we played records. I can't imagine, and maybe she'll text me. I don't think she's been to many concerts. And if there's been, it's been very few. So you come up with your own musical taste. I don't think that's passed down from generation to generation. So, no, I'm not going to blame your parents. I'm not going to blame you. You like other stuff. Just because Scals loves Pink Floyd and everybody else, that doesn't mean you have to. But to never go to one concert, I'm not a musical guy, and I've been to a bunch of concerts.
I am still trying to figure out where Tausch is going, where just randomly concerts break out.
That's what everyone keeps saying. Oh, you just fall into a concert. How? Where?
Well, go to Summerfest for once, for crying out loud. Let's just start there.
All right.
I think that's a pretty simple solution. That is it for Whoa Nelly, Whoa Joshy, Whoa Ashy, Whoa Minicamp, Whoa Swearing, which hopefully will not occur as we wrap things up from Packers Minicamp next. It's Wilde and Tausch. ...2,076 votes so far in our poll, and it is 70-30. No, Brian Gutekunst did not fully understand or grasp all the ramifications of drafting Jordan Love. Jordan Love throwing a ball right now to Amari Rodgers, and it was not close, but let's not judge him based on one throw that just happened to occur while I was talking about him. We're not here to do that. Tausch, this is practice 2 of 3. We haven't gotten to 11 on 11 yet. I know you played tackle, but you did catch a pass in a game, which they installed throughout the week leading up to Christmas. When it's routes on air, how often should a good quarterback not hit the receiver he's assigned to throw to when there's no defender?
So there's no defender and there's no pass rush?
That's correct.
I would say 1 out of 100 throws.
Okay. I should correct this. There is a defender. Matt LaFleur is out here. His Achilles fully healed. He is jamming the occasional receiver at the line of scrimmage. But no, mostly no defense. Yeah, it's...
Oh, well, then that changes it. 1.5 out of 1.
We will see what 11 on 11 looks like. We will report back after that period is over and share with probably Homer when I join Homer and Tony later today. Tausch, I can't wait to see you in person tomorrow and deliver Cal Ripken baseball cards, buddy. I look forward to it.
Love it. All right, Jason. See you tomorrow.
That'll do it for us today. Practice continues here at Packers Minicamp. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Thanks to Marshall Newhouse and to Uncle Homer for joining us, and thanks to you. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.